They say it's in your blood, a game that can't be won, only played. A love affair. It satisfies the soul and frustrates the intellect. The greatest game ever played, golf. It's real. And this is Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of legendary golfer Billy Casper, talking golf with you for more than two decades. And now, here's Brian and Bob.
Well, thank you very much and welcome in to the 88th Masters edition of Real Golf Radio. Such a pleasure to be here at Augusta National Golf Club and the beautiful facilities that they provide for us to be able to do updates, cover this tournament, and to do our show. And we appreciate you being here. Dave Glauser's our producer. I'm Brian Taylor. He's Bob Casper, son of 1970 Masters champion Billy Casper. And always a thrill and a pleasure to be here for the Masters tournament. Wow, do we have one shaping up. Wow. Tiger Woods, 24th cut in a row. He's playing the weekend here at Augusta. That answered a lot of questions in the most of difficult conditions, including some chilly weather on Friday morning when he had to go out and complete his first round before teeing off shortly thereafter for his second round. It was a long day, and yet Tiger was able to play enough good golf to be able to get himself into the weekend. And as he said, he's still got work to do, and he's still got a mind on getting a sixth tying jack for the most green jackets out there, which would be a story that would be incredible. Plus, you got world number one, Scottie Scheffler, tied for the lead with a live player in Bryson DeChambeau, a former U.S. Open champion who's just the mad scientist. He's back at it with a little bit of a better attitude and appreciation for this play. And Max Homa, a fan favorite who's out there enjoying every moment and writing it in his journal and teaching us along the way while hitting some remarkable golf shots that look like they're out of this world, and yet they're all within himself and his skill set. We'll talk about that. We'll hear from those players. We'll hear from Chairman Ridley on the changes to Augusta, the future of the club, and some of the things in respect to distance, to invitations, and so on and so forth. So much to unpack over the next 2 hours, Bob.
Yeah, and you know, another guy that you got to look at right there that's only three shots back is Colin Morikawa. Where has he been all year? And now he's right in the mix of everything, only three shots back, two-time major championship winner with an Open Championship and a PGA. Homa's the only one kind of up in those top five or six guys that hasn't won a major championship, but his last one was a top 10.
I'll tell you, it's going to be exciting. It's hard to say. And you know what? Someone could come from back from the pack as well.
That's right.
Jackie Burke, we lost him this year, but he came from eight back. So that is definitely something that's on the table. We'll get into it all next right here on Real Golf Radio.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Welcome back. It's Real Golf Radio from the Masters. Thanks again for joining us, Brian Taylor, Bob Casper. Real Golf Radio is brought to you in part by Black Desert Resort. Go to blackdesertresort.com and find out about the exclusive real estate opportunities available in the resort, which opens up this fall, featuring the Tom Weisskopf Design Championship Golf Course, which is available for play and open right now. Terrific opportunity to get out and play this golf course, which is going to be amazing. Plus, it's going to host the PGA Tour this fall and the LPGA Tour beginning next spring. So really exciting stuff happening. blackdesertevents.com for more on the tour events. blackdesertresort.com for more on the golf and the real estate. And we thank you again for joining us here. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, at Real Golf is our handle on X, and you can download us wherever your favorite podcasts are found, and of course pick us up on one of the affiliates that carry us throughout the country. We appreciate them as well, and it's been fun to do updates with some of those throughout this week. All right, let's talk about it, Bob. Here we go. Three tied at 6 under par at the halfway point of the 88th Masters. And you know, you gotta love it. There's a little bit of everything in there. You got the bomber and Bryson, you got the number one player in the world, and you got one of the most popular players in Max Homa. Really, really cool stuff. I'm not saying that it's going to be one of those three, but obviously you can't win it unless you put yourself in position, and they're right there.
Yeah. So Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau, and Scottie Scheffler all at 6 under par. Max Homa shot 1 under in the second round. Bryson DeChambeau 1 over, and Scottie Scheffler even par in the second round. Then you have, is it Nicholas Hoegaard?
Nicolai, yeah.
Yeah, he's at 4 under par, 2 shots back. Then you've got Cam Davis and Colin Morikawa at 3 under par. Then you've got Ober, forgot his first name. Then you've got
Ludwig
Obert Pavon, Cam Young, and also Tommy Fleetwood, all at one under par. Danny Willett, former Masters champion at one under par. Then you've got Fox and Ben Ahn, also at one under par. Those guys all round out the top 10.
And, of course, the pairings have Max Homa and Bryson DeChambeau in the final group with Scottie Scheffler and Nicolai Højgaard in the penultimate group there. Cam Davis and Colin Morikawa are right there. You know, I start looking at those guys. You know, it's super impressive. You mentioned Ludvig Åberg, Åberg, I guess is what we're going with now. And Pavone from France, who won the Farmers for his first win on the PGA Tour. And here he is putting himself in position. Cam Young and Fleetwood, the little ball striker guys that are right in that group. Danny Willett, a past champion, along with Ryan Fox, who got off to a great start with 69 in that opening round. Ben Ahn and Cam Smith, Adam Shank and Patrick Reed are playing together. Kurt Kitayama and Lucas Glover. Nobody's talking about that group at all. Sepp Straka and Matt Fitzpatrick. Tiger Woods, by the way, is teeing it up, going off 12:45 with Tyrrell Hatton. How good is that?
How good is
that pairing? Yeah. Brooks Koepka's got Taylor Moore. Patrick Cantlay has the amateur, Neil Shipley, in a group heading off group 16 at 12:15. A couple other notables here. Danny McCarthy playing with Vijay Singh. That will be an interesting, probably the tallest and shortest players are in that group. Saith Theegala and Phil Mickelson will be playing together in group 11, going off at 11:25. Joaquin Neiman, Minwoo Lee, Rory McIlroy has Camilo Villegas. How about Camilo making the cut?
Yeah, you got to like that.
I mean, that's impressive
stuff. He's a good player, man.
And
he's a good player.
Yeah, he's coming back.
Great story, too.
Yeah, really good stuff. Chris Kirk and Tony Finau, who struggled to get in the house on Friday afternoon. They go off in group 7 at 10:35. John Rahm is right in front of them playing with Grayson Murray, the defending champion, playing the weekend, which is nice to see. Adam Scott and Siwoo Kim, Tom Kim, and Jake Knapp. Good for him making his first Masters cut, which is a cool story. Jose Maria Olazabal, are you kidding me, Bob? Made the cut and is playing this weekend with Luke List, going off at 9:55 in group 3. The Thunder Bear, Thorbjørn Olesen, playing alongside Russell Henley, who struggled with a 77. I liked him coming out this week. He's had good finishes at Augusta. Ricky Fowler made the cut. Not what he wanted to do, but he had that curse of the par 3 championship over his head. Nice piece of crystal. Tough one to get a green jacket, though, when you win the par 3 contest. He's first group out, 9:35 Eastern time after rounds of 76-74. He's playing with former champion Hideki Matsuyama, who shot 76-74. A lot of people liked Hideki's chances.
Yeah.
I liked Hideki's chances going in this week. He said he's been playing really well all year long and just wasn't able to play his best and his first out, but made the cut.
And they won't need a marker.
How about
that? It's an even number of players.
Yeah, that's unfortunate for the member who usually gets an opportunity to go out there and play, right? For sure. So that's the way it shakes up. You know what? I'm looking at some guys, Bob. I know we're going to focus on the guys tied, but, you know, looking right back there, Colin Morikawa is a two-time major champion. So Bryson's a major champion. Scheffler's a major champion. Mm-hmm. Morikawa's a major champion. And then where do you drop back down to? Danny Willett. He hasn't played golf in 7 months and finds himself right there. Patrick Reed's a past champion here. So Cam Smith, an open champion. So there's some major champions in there. But the way it's all bunched up, I mean, how do you see this thing playing out, Bob?
Well, you know, the guys that are out front, today's going to be an easier day because of the weather. It's going to be nice and sunny. You're not going to see as high of winds as we saw in the first two rounds, you know, the gusts up to 30, 35 miles an hour. So the guys are going to have it a little bit easier. And maybe the guys that are teeing off early, a guy like a Tiger Woods or a Cam Smith or Xander Schauffele, those guys are going to have an opportunity to get out. Brooks Koepka is another one. Opportunity to get out and post a number and get back into the mix of things. And you know what? I can guarantee it that there will be somebody that goes out earlier that's going to post a number, and they're going to get themselves right back in the tournament.
Well, Tiger feels like he's right in it right now.
I'm right there. I'm only, what, 8 back as of right now. I don't think anyone's going to run off and hide right now, but it's really bunched. The way the ball is moving on the greens, chip shots are being blown. It's all you wanted in a golf course today.
Yeah, it was very, very tough. That was Tiger after his second round. And
he's only seven.
That's right, yeah, because they did come back just a little bit. So, again, we know we lost Jackie Burke this year, former Masters champion, but he holds the record for the largest comeback after 36 holes, eight. He was also eight back after 54 holes. So yep. We know eight's been done. So you look at the guys inside eight and say, hey, it's anyone's game in that? And yet, at the same time, that world number one's up there, and he seems to be tough to beat right now.
And you know what? When conditions get a little bit more benign, then you're going to see Scottie Scheffler and his ball striking really take a hold. So I'm excited about the weekend. I'm excited about those guys, three guys at the top. I'm excited to see what they're going to do in the third round and then also when it comes down to the back nine on Sunday.
How hard did this golf course play for the first two rounds? I mean, it was you've been coming a lot longer than I have. I don't remember the wind blowing sustained at this level for two straight days.
Yeah, you know, they were expecting a lot of rain, and we were expecting a big, huge delay. We did get a delay in the first round, but the rain that we were expecting was extreme. They're expecting 2 inches of rain. This golf course would have really gotten wet. We haven't heard the sub-airs come on because that weather system skirted us, and then it's been windy ever since. So, you know, you get the dryness of the first day, the dryness of the second day in the sun, and that's why the golf course got so difficult.
Oh, it's been a test in so many different ways. Sand blowing out of the bunkers onto the 18th green. Max Homa talking about how he just got sandblasted, and he shares a great story. We'll share that with you coming up on the back nine. But, we've got some sound to share. We've got the chairman who spoke at his annual Wednesday press conference and discussed some of the state of the affairs of the game, the Masters tournament, and the future plans with the club. And there's some good stuff there. We'll cover that for you coming up. In just a little bit as well. So lots to get to. America's favorite caddy is going to be stopping by. Always some great insights. He's doing that on the back nine, hour number two. So, yeah, hey, look, we've enjoyed some egg salad sandwiches, some Masters clubs, some classic chicken. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, good stuff. We'll get into it all coming up next. Thanks for joining us. Brian and Bob, you're listening to Real Golf Radio from the 88th Masters Tournament.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper with you here at Augusta National inside the press building for the 88th Masters Tournament. Good to be with you. As mentioned, it has been a good week. And you know what's great about this week is it's a total celebration of the game from the Augusta National Women's Amateur to the Drive, Chip, and Putt Finals on Sunday, the par 3 contest on Wednesday, and then the fans, the patrons that get to come here and experience it all.
Yeah.
And there's so much to experience, Bob, when you think about when people come here trying to get it all in, from the shopping to the concessions to seeing the golf course to catching their favorite player, you know, all of those things, it taking pictures, being in the spots, try to just soak it all in. I think part of the charm is the Masters experience that people have when they come here. You know, you heard Chairman really talk about the magic or the mystique. That is what it is, and it always delivers for people. You just see so many people enjoying themselves.
Well, and that's the whole thing. You know, we've always said this, that if you're going to come to the Masters for the first time, you know what? Come for the practice rounds because you can enjoy the experience of seeing the players play, but you also get the opportunity to bring a camera with you, take some pictures, all the things that go along with being here at Augusta for the first time. When it comes down to the tournament days, guess what? That all goes away, and you don't have a chance to really document or put those things into memory books or anything like that. So if you get a chance to come for the practice rounds. The practice rounds are awesome. But along with that, there is so much to do and so much to experience here. I think last Saturday when we first got here, the line for the merchandise, for merchandise, it was 2.5 to 3.5 hours long for people trying to get in. I've never seen it like that before. It's crazy. But there's all kinds of stuff to get here, shirts, hoodies, you name it. And it's amazing. And And then the concessions, of course, they don't gouge you on the concessions. Everybody's heard about those. It's an amazing thing to be here and to be able to be here every year.
What do you think? What's the item of the week, Bob?
Item of the week.
Yeah, people that are shopping. I mean, if you were to say based on demand, you'd go with the Gnome.
Well, yeah.
But I don't know. Like, to me, the Gnome, I remember when the Gnome came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, oh, look, there's
like
a Gnome.
4 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, like, oh, look, that's kind of cute.
Yeah.
I didn't rush to it. I looked at it, and I was like, that's cute, and I moved. Like, what am I going to do with a garden Gnome?
Yeah.
I don't have a garden.
So there's a big one, which is the garden Gnome.
Yeah.
And there's a smaller one.
Yeah.
Which is the caddy Gnome.
Well, what it becomes is everything that they sell here becomes a piece of the Masters.
Yes.
And because the mortals don't have an opportunity to play here, we want to take home a piece of it.
Yes.
It's the reason why you see people slip a pine cone in their pocket or, you know, a divot comes flying their way and they pick it up or
they
pick a piece of grass, you know, or something. They just want to have something, you know, some piece of it. I mean, it's the reason we teased you about dumpster diving for the cups for, you know, guys that will buy. I mean, I had these little sandwich poker things that were held the sandwich together, but they have
those,
the little
we?
Yellow flag that says the Masters on. I mean, there's just napkins.
Yep.
Like people just want a piece. And so now you get into the merchandise and everybody, it's a brilliant business plan that they have because you can only get it here.
Yeah.
Unless you're buying it on the secondary market. Right. I don't want to get into that. But you basically, people, if you're sporting the logo, you've been there.
Yep.
And it's like the ultimate flex, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the item for this week, besides the Gnome, as you talked about, is the hat that said Pimento on it. Okay,
really?
That was sold out by Wednesday.
Another thing I looked at and thought, huh.
Okay, and it was kind of that orange color, kind of like the Pimento cheese sandwiches.
Yeah.
It had a little green rope across the front, and it said Pimento on it.
They've really done well. I mean, the pink Azalea hat sold out as well.
Yep, Azalea hats. They also have Amen Corner. They also have caddy.
The caddy hat really blew up.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking like the caddy hat that the caddies wear. I'm talking about a hat that says caddy.
Yeah. But that Pimento hat, man, that thing sold out quick.
The t-shirt.
I was lucky. I got one.
Did you?
Yeah. I got one.
Are you going to wear it?
No.
No. You're giving it to someone?
It's for my grandson.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I think I know who. The Babe?
The Babe.
Yeah, I figured the Babe would want that Pimento. That's a Babe hat right there, man. So, nice.
That's his birthday present.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, for me.
Happy birthday, Link.
Yep.
So, the T-shirt with the Gnome on the back, that was big. You know what? I got a little bit sentimental, maybe because I'm 50 now.
Right.
And I always tell you this. I only show up to the Masters and with this attitude that this may be your last year because you never know.
Right.
And I bought a puzzle.
Yes, you did.
It's a 1,000-piece puzzle.
It's a good-looking puzzle, though.
It's a cool puzzle. It's all the old badges, which I liked.
Yeah.
But honestly, when am I ever going to sit down and do a 1,000-piece puzzle?
Well, you got to take it up to Island Park with you for your family. Okay. And just spread it out and put it together.
Well, that might be a thing. We did a little bit of that with a 500-piece puzzle over Christmas, and I actually was surprised at how much I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
We all spent time working on it together, and it was kind of cool to accomplish. But
that's why you do it.
So then I got a couple of I'm expecting our first grandchild in August.
Yes.
And I went a little crazy on the kid.
I've never bought
baby stuff. I mean, when I started coming in 2000, let's see. Well, no, I would have had babies because Zach was born in 99. But they didn't really have that stuff then.
They didn't
then.
Have that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, why didn't I buy something for him? I remember buying him the little bears. Remember the little bears were big?
Yep. Caddy bears.
Yeah. And then I think maybe I got him the little mini golf shirts and I had one of those little mini putters, which they still sell.
Yeah.
But they didn't have a baby section like they do now.
No. And I just got my youngest grandson.
Yeah.
Green hoodie.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be a little bit big, but by next year, it'll
grow
pretty
into
good.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the adults, I think that the hoodies have taken Augusta by storm. I mean, there's the Peter Millar version. There's the Masters collection. There's the Masters Tech. You know, those little like long sleeve t-shirt hoodies they're phenomenal. I don't know what to say, but those to me are my favorite items. There's, I got a DOP kit that I was telling you. I've been looking at it for a long time.
Yeah.
But the Smathers and Branson, that stuff, I didn't even know about it till last year.
Holy
now I'm all in on that stuff. It is really nice.
Holy moly.
When I go back to the house and my shaving kit's sitting there, that leather and with the green Augusta thing on it,
whew,
That was a good choice, Bob.
Yeah.
I don't even regret spending $150 on that thing.
Ouch!
No, I mean, look, I've shopped for them. You get a decent leather one, it's 100 plus.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, you could buy a vinyl one or something for 30, 40 bucks.
I have a Master's poor boy version.
Well, it's not. No, I love your Master's one. It's super cool. It's kind of like techie. I like it. So,
yep. It's awesome.
So, anyway, yeah, that's some good stuff. So, just wanted to kind of set the scene. The par 3 contest was really fun. And let me just say this. I tweeted this out, @RealGolfBT, if you want to give us a follow. I actually read a story that one of the older riders wrote that negatively about the par 3 contest.
Really?
Well, just that, why are we even calling it a contest if they're just letting the players do whatever, if they're letting the caddies putt out, if they're taking their kids on there, if the players aren't really trying, what's the point of even having a trophy at the end? Congratulations, Ricky. You won something nobody tried to win.
Yeah, that Ricky was shot 5 under.
Yeah. So we can talk about that curse and stuff in a second. But well, let me just say, like I said in the beginning, it's a celebration of the game. It's one of my favorite days in all of golf.
Yeah.
Has it gotten a little bit more silly and much more family over the last, I'd say, 10 years? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't hate that version of it. There's been a lot of versions over the years.
Yeah.
I don't want – these guys are about to embark on the crucible of what they've always wanted to win since they were kids dreaming about being professional golfers.
Right.
Or amateurs if they're here as an amateur. And that's playing in the Masters and winning a green jacket. So why would you want to have a contest, something that is serious, before they have to grind for those 4 rounds to win a green jacket? So why not make it exactly and let it evolve to what it is and provide the players with an opportunity to do something that they don't get to do anywhere else, and that's involve their family, to be able to be inside the ropes with them and being able to hit putts, shots, and do all the stuff and just be a little bit silly. To me, on the beautiful stage that it is one of the coolest things in golf. And I'll die on that hill. So you can tell me what you think. @RealGolf, I'd love to know what you think. But I think it's one of the coolest days, and I'm all for it. Now, having said that, the curse is real.
Yes.
And why in the world Ricky Fowler would have gone and posted 5, I'll never know. Because what usually happens is when someone posts a score, that's what everyone tries to go get. In the par 3 contest, when someone posts a score, that's what they try not to get to.
That's right.
So it's a little bit of a backwards approach, huh?
Well, you know, and along with what you were saying about the par 3 contest, if it becomes something that is like another competition or a pre-competition to the event, then you're going to see less and less players playing it, because
Agreed.
The players want some time to be able to decompress from all their preparations as they're getting ready to tee off the next day for the Masters Championship and the Masters Tournament and the Masters Invitational and the opportunity to win the green jacket. So I like the decompression aspect of it. I like the family being there. I mean, what better than Jack Nicklaus's grandson making a hole-in-one on the 9th hole? That
Pretty
was
cool.
so cool.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you've got the little kids that are putting, and it's really fun. Tony Finau having his whole family out there.
That's a crew.
That's a crew. Everybody dressed in white coveralls, and it is absolutely the funnest thing, and people so look forward to it on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, so that's all I have to say about that. Champions Dinner, by all accounts, went off really well.
Yep.
It feels, and people have asked us this a lot as we've done interviews this week, is what's the temperature like between the LIV players and the PGA Tour players? It seems to be significantly less than it was a year ago, right? Other than Greg Norman showing up with a patron badge that kind of stirred it up.
Right.
And he can say he's here to support his guys all he wants, but he stirred it up. That's what he did.
Yeah, and I think most of the guys respect each other as players. They understand why decisions were made and why guys are doing it. I think the guy that they have the hard time with is that guy that you just talked about, Greg Norman, and what he's been doing to fracture the game of golf.
That's some of the scenes and sights and sounds from this week at the Masters. We'll talk more about the leaderboard and the storylines, but Fred Ridley, the chairman of Augusta National, addresses the media every Wednesday of Masters Weeks and hits a variety of topics. We'll talk about that coming up next right here. Our show from the Masters. You're listening to Real Golf Radio.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Welcome back. You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper. It's brought to you in part by Black Desert Resort in St. George, Utah. Check out blackdesertresort.com. Exclusive real estate opportunities are available there. You can also go to blackdesertevents.com and find out about the PGA Tour's upcoming stop for FedEx Cup Fall and sponsorships, hospitality tickets, volunteer information. All of that is there. Check it out, blackdesertevents.com and blackdesertresort.com. Welcoming the PGA Tour in October back to Utah for the first time in 60 years, being played on the championship Tom Weisskopf Design Golf Course. Cannot wait for that event. Will be super exciting, and I think it'll be a great venue for the tour players to come out and compete that week, October 10th through the 13th. That's the date. So, yeah, book it now. Check it out, blackdesertevents.com. One of the big events we talked about that we come out is the Augusta National Women's Amateur and the Drive, Chip, and Putt Finals on Saturday and Sunday prior to Masters Week. And then on Wednesday, as we said, Chairman Ridley from Augusta National addresses the media and the tournament, the events, some club business, and some news. One of the things he talked about was the Drive, Chip, and Putt and the success of the Drive, Chip, and Putt. And I just wanted to play some of that for you right now. Here's Fred Ridley talking about that.
With the help of our partners, the PGA of America and the USGA, we have seen 110 qualifiers in 19 states in year one grow to over 400 qualifiers in all 50 states for this qualifying season. We have witnessed national finalists win on the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour. Just this past Sunday, we watched Ashkay Bhatia withstand an unbelievable back nine 28 by Denny McCarthy to become the first Drive, Chip, and Putt national finalist to qualify for the Masters.
There you go, Fred Ridley, talking about the Drive, Chip, and Putt and the success and the way that the Drive, Chip, and Putt finalists have used that experience to help project them forward into the amateur and professional games as they've gone forward their careers, which is super cool. And then, of course, Bhatia being here this week, you know, getting in at the last minute. 10 years ago, he competed in the Drive, Chip, and Putt, and now here he is playing in the Masters, the first one to do that. That's pretty cool stuff. I mean, hats off, right? I mean, he called it a success after this time. I absolutely agree. Another great celebration of the game. And, you know, here's the thing. It's that one is so well run, and the stories that come out of it are so refreshing and, and inspiring from the for these little kids and the experience they have with their parents. It just makes me sit back and go, you know, Zach was within range for those first ones when we were doing this. And, you know, we didn't really take advantage of that opportunity. And I just think it's one of those things that's really neat to see so many of the people that do.
You know, it used to be that there was like a region or like a section, a regional and a sectional, and then you made it here. Now they've gone from what 100 and something players in their very first one that tried to qualify for it, and now they're up over 400, 500 kids that are trying to qualify for this with three sites before they get to the finals, and sites in every state of the country. So it's amazing what they've been able to do. And Akshay Bhatia, just awesome that he was one that went and participated in it, but also now he's on the PGA Tour and he wins.
Distance was a topic of conversation, as it tends to be here at Augusta. Here's what Chairman Ridley had to say about that.
Adding distance to the Augusta National Golf Course has become standard operation over the past two decades. For almost 70 years, the Masters was played at just over 6,900 yards. Today, the course measures 7,550 yards from the markers, and we may well play one of the tournament rounds this year at more than 7,600 yards. I've said in the past, and I hope that we will not play the Masters at 8,000 yards. But that is likely to happen in the not too distant future under current standards. Accordingly, we support the decisions that have been made by the RNA and the USGA as they have addressed the impact of distance at all levels of the game.
All right, what'd you make of that? Obviously, you know, he didn't want to see the Masters at 8,000 yards. I'm not so sure any of us really want to necessarily see it at 8,000 yards. But, you know, he supports the distance efforts by the RNA and the USGA. Is it enough, do you think? I mean, we're talking about a 10%, you know, rollback and things like that. Do you think it's going to be enough to keep Augusta from having to expand to 8,000?
You know, I think it'll be enough initially to keep the guys at bay. But you know what? The thing about it is we've got players now that are more athletic, they're stronger, they create more clubhead speed, they hit the ball further, and it doesn't have to necessarily be with the golf ball. Make the golf ball a little bit more spinny, make the equipment a little bit different as far as clubs and drivers and that kind of thing, and you can hold those guys at bay a little bit. But you know what? Eventually they're going to figure it out. Whether it's with them or whether it's with the engineers making the equipment and everything. And we're going to be pushing that red line in the sand that he called it, 8,000 yards. But hopefully it doesn't get that far.
Speaking of distance, apparently one of the reporters heard Vijay Singh suggest that the 12th hole at Augusta, the par 3, right in the heart of Amen Corner,
right,
should be lengthened by 10 yards, and he brought that up to the chairman, and this was his response, as you might well expect.
I would say with 100% certainty that it would not be lengthening during my tenure. You know, that's almost like asking, you know, can we touch up the Mona Lisa a little bit? I mean, I think that the 12th hole at Augusta is the most iconic par 3 in the world. It has been, and I won't say it always will be, but I think it always will be. There's something about, I don't know what it is, but there's something about the topography, the trees, the wind, the beauty that just, it just captures your imagination when you combine that with the history that's been made there. I mean, the most recent being the tragedies and triumphs when Tiger Woods won in 2019. You know, Freddie Couples' ball, you know, hanging up on the edge of Rays Creek, which was made part of the song Augusta. And so I just think it's just such an iconic hole that's had so many important moments in the Masters that I'm not sure that another 10 yards would really make a difference. You know, players are hitting short irons, but it doesn't seem to matter. You know, the hole is very difficult.
It's Golden Bell, and I don't think you mess with Golden Bell like you have the same thing that he used for the Mona Lisa. You don't want to be messing with that. And as I said, you know, it, you know, in 2023, it played the 12th most difficult hole.
Yeah.
Cumulatively, it is the fourth most difficult over the years. Uh-huh. In round number one, it was the 11th. So we start looking at that, and yeah, it's challenging. But look, take all those stats away. What hole are you thinking about, or are you worried about when you're in contention on Sunday?
Yeah, you're thinking about what they term as Amen Corner, of course, number 11 and number 12. Then you have an opportunity to gain something back at 13, or to make a birdie or an eagle at 13. But they took that a little bit away last year by lengthening out that hole another 35 yards and bringing it back to the length that it needs to be to make it a risk reward on a second shot going in there and a third shot and a three shot par 5. So, but number 12, an amazing hole. You get up on that hole, and it's very, very difficult, especially like it was in the first two rounds where the wind is blowing. It's buffeting the players. It's coming over the top of the trees. You got to keep the ball down on the trajectory to make sure that it clears Race Creek. It's just really, really difficult.
Talk a little bit about that, because we sat and watched guys that hit shots, and Tony Finau in the first round really hit a masterful shot in there. And you mentioned, and we both commented on the trajectory.
Yes.
Why is that so important? I mean, you just kind of brushed by it, but maybe explain a little bit more about the way that those trees work as a little bit of a shield.
Yeah, it's a buffer, and if you get it above the trees, then the wind has an opportunity to grab a hold of the golf ball and cause it and hold it up where Race Creek comes in play. Now, if the wind switches or if it turns off, then you see those guys up on the bank where the ball hits up on the bank, like Tiger Woods' ball stayed up in the pine straw, or you see a guy hit it in the back bunkers, or it comes off the back bank into the bunkers. Scottie Scheffler, very fortunate in the first round, was able to hole it out of that back bunker.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a phenomenal hole. And like I said last week, you know, my dad, one of the first years he played the golf tournament, Matthew Palmer was his caddy. He was a club caddy here at Augusta. It used to be that the guys could only use club caddies. They couldn't bring their own caddies. And that was changed. But Matthew Palmer told my dad, once my dad pulled the club out and he took his little waggles, he kind of backed off because he felt the wind. And Matthew said, when you pull that club out of the bag, hit it, and hit it quick, because if the wind changes, then it becomes a totally different shot. So you really gotta be committed to your shot on the 12th hole and just buckle down, keep that ball, the trajectory down on that, and try, as Tiger says, to hit it in the middle of that bunker and draw it off that bunker to the left.
We ran into Tony Finau's dad after Tony played the 12th. He was out on the 13th. You know, they're in the pine straw waiting for Tony to hit up on 13, and he shared a little thing with us where Tony took the chance to talk to Tiger, you know, after they had played together. You know, hey, what about that shot? And Tiger said he only has one shot on 12, and it's aim it at the middle of the bunker, not even the right side of the bunker.
Right.
The middle of the bunker and draw it.
Draw it left.
Doesn't matter where the pin is.
Yeah.
Sunday pin's always to the right. Doesn't matter. Take it over the bunker, draw it in there, and two putt and go away.
Well, and the interesting thing is, as you stand there on the tee and as you look at the hole, as us everyday people look at the hole, looks like that green's just, you know, perpendicular to
straight across, yeah.
Straight across, so horizontally straight across from where you're hitting, okay? But to the left front, to the right front, okay? It's 11 yards deeper going to the right front. So what Tiger is saying is, give yourself a shorter distance to carry the creek and hit it over there to the left, get it on the green, take your two putt, and move on.
Because the problem is, you could hit that, and Tony Finau in 2019, when he was right there in the final group with Tiger, said he hit a chip cut 9.
Yep.
And I grimaced when he said cut, because if you just catch the wrong gust, that might be great without the gust, but you get the little gust and it's cutting.
Yes.
That's going to knock it down and end up in the water. Now, from another standpoint, the lefties can actually draw that in there a little bit, which is a totally different shot, so it actually sets up a little bit better for them. But, yeah, 12, Golden Bell, what a terrific hole. I don't think – I love that he just blew that off.
And it's like, only 150 yards.
150, 55 yards. There's no reason to mess
guys
with that.
Guys are hitting wedges and 8-irons in there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. One of the other things that the chairman was asked about was the official World Golf rankings and how that might impact the invitation to make sure the best players are competing year in, year out at the Masters.
Presently, we do use the official World Golf Rankings. As you know, we're on the board of the OWGR. We believe that it is a legitimate determiner of who the best players in the game are. You know, there's been clear communication, there's been public regarding, the LIV's application, which subsequently was withdrawn after some remedial suggestions were made regarding pathways and access to players and concern about some of the aspects of team golf. But I think in our case, we're an invitational, and we can adjust as necessary. I mean, a great example is this year Joaquin Niemann was given a special invitation. We felt that Joaquin had not only had a great record coming up this year, but after his season, he went to Australia, played very well there, finished fourth in the Australian PGA, won the Australian Open, one of the great, great championships of the world. And we thought he was deserving of a special invitation. Now, historically, and as stated in our qualification criteria, we consider international players for special invitations. But we do look at those every year, and I will say that if we felt that there were a player or players, whether they played on the LIV Tour or any other tour, who were deserving of an invitation to the Masters, that we would exercise that discretion with regard to special limitations.
Ouch, Taylor Gooch. Ouch. So, I mean, that's basically what he was saying is they're an invitational. They can extend that invitation should they need. In the meantime, they're on the board. They're all in for the OWGR. If changes are made, again, as an invitational, they have the prerogative to extend that. So apparently they didn't feel like they were missing anybody that should have been in the field this week.
Well, the thing is that the official World Golf Rankings encompasses all the tours, the world tours in the game of golf. You know, the LIV is a faction that has split off from the game. It's fractured the game. And as of yet, they are not part of the official World Golf Rankings and what comprises the game of golf. And because they're not, those that win on there don't necessarily merit a invitation, according to them. And if a guy wants an invitation, he's got to go play well in other areas.
That's right. Hey, the last thing I'll mention is the facilities. Some pretty big changes coming up for the players.
One final piece of news on facilities I would like to share with you is the commencement this summer of a two-phase project that will significantly elevate the experience of all Masters competitors. Phase one will include underground parking and will be operational next year. The second phase of this project will open in 2026 and will feature a three-level, state-of-the-art facility designed to anticipate every need for players, their families, and support teams. We'll have more details when we are together next April.
All right. How about that? Now, we have heard from some of the players that that might include a state-of-the-art gym.
Yes.
There. But, wow. I mean, they continue to enhance the experience for the players. Unreal stuff. That was Chairman Ridley from his press conference on Wednesday. Stay tuned. More of our show from the Masters continues on the back nine next.